Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome here to another edition of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am J-double-B, Cavalon, King of California, you know, all the Jay Arimi, all the beautiful, wonderful names out there. This is an impromptu last drop. Okay, so UFC 257 just ended. Yeah, I'll say this, I didn't think it was better than Fight Island 7 with Max Holloway, because that was like fight of the year for me. But some interesting notes to take, and I just decided I'd get up on here. Oh, by the way, I'm alone. No Cody here. I didn't feel like bothering him this late at night. It's like, it's already after 10 o'clock. So I was like, I want to do this now and just, you know, knock this out real quick. But another reason why, too, is going into 2021, I'm deciding to do something since we can't do bar reviews anymore. I'm deciding to do something and I think I'm going to do this for the whole year. I don't know if it'll be a continuing thing. It might just be just for this one year. But what it is it's going to be a Cavalon show here on The Last Drop. I don't have a name like Mix and Match Beer Week or Whiskey Week or anything like that. Shit, it might just be called Talking Cavalon. And I thought that like once a month at a different cask or a different bottle of Cavalon here and just, you know, briefly talk about it and also shoot the shit like I normally do as well, you know, talk stuff, as I was saying, like I'm going to talk a little bit of UFC 257 here, but mainly with the idea of this will be for the year is to talk some Cavalon. And today what I have here is, it's funny because I feel like me and Yoon kind of already did this. And funny, we did it after a UFC fight, too. I think it was after the featherweight championship bout. But we didn't do it on air. And I was thinking to myself, damn, I should have brought my laptop. We could have recorded this. And what I've got right here is, basically I'm going to label this episode Cavalon Venho. The Cavalon that I first saw on TV. The Cavalon that was introduced to me by, as you guys know, that guy Yoon. He told me about it, and I got something special here today. I got my buddy, I got a regular bottle of Cavalon here, Cavalon Solus Cash Strength, 56.3 ABV, and then I got my buddy Henry. I got his Cavalon barrel pick right here with the dragon design on it at 57.1 ABV right here. So I'm going to do a side-by-side comparison of Venho. Now, this ain't going to be, if I do this monthly with this Cavalon show, this isn't going to be an everyday thing where I do a compare and contrast, like the sherry cast or this barrel pick sherry cast or anything like that. Well, I guess I could do that because I do have, I have barrel picks of the ex-bourbon cast, the Venho, the sherry cast. I mean, I probably could do that for at least about 3-4 months or per se because I have barrel picks of certain Cavalon there, but that won't be the only one. Mainly, we'll just be talking Cavalon here. So, I wanted to do a side-by-side comparison of his Venho to just your standard, average Cavalon Venho. Ooh, get that on the nose there. Oh, yeah. But let's talk about UFC 257 right now. I ain't gonna lie. I was a little pumped. Now, Conor's a piece of shit outside the ring. But he looks like he's humbled himself now. I mean, after taking that ass beating, he probably did humble himself. But I never noticed how huge his fan base was to, like, they'll just defend him over every fucking thing. Like I even seen people, even a buddy of mine writing, they're just like, it's so sad that he had to lose or whatever. I'm just like, dude, get over your fucking self. Like, it's two grown-ass men here, like, crying about some dude losing in a fight. You had nothing to do anything with it, whatever, but I guess that's just the level of their fandom for this dude, and I never knew it was that big or not, but I respect his fighting in the ring, but other than that, I don't really give a shit about that dude outside. He makes some shitty-ass whiskey, and he makes some shitty-ass choices in life when he decides to act like a goddamn fool, but I digress on that. But I was hyped for this fight because I was like, man, because Conor has a huge fan base, And we got a crowd in the audience here. We're on Fight Island with a crowd. Ooh, I can't wait to hear that fans just cheer for Connor, you know, or just cheer for the fight in general. So I was hyped for it. I know people think because I just said some shit about Connor, they're probably like, oh, you're a Connor hater. No, 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 no. I actually like Connor. I don't think he could MMA as well. But his boxing is pretty good as far as his stand-up game, but his ground game is shit. He throws some good kicks every now and then in a fight, but he doesn't keep it up, to be honest. He's all about his striking, and you know, I'm not going to knock him for his game and stuff, but his ground game is shit. I mean, Dustin, he's not even a good ground game guy, and he took Connor down like with ease. I was just like, man, that was nothing really, you know? and you talking shit about, why am I blanking on his name now? Oh my God, what? The champ, shit, the one that just retired, shit. Oh man, now I gotta look this up. I cannot believe I'm blanking on the motherfucker's name. Khabib, damn, why did I kept wanting to say Macbeth for some fucking reason. Must have just watched that movie or something, man. But yeah, Khabib, he's calling out Khabib, and it's like, dude, Khabib nearly killed you that last fight. You got taken down by Dustin Poirier. You ain't standing a chance against Khabib, too, so he might want to dial that back down. Because remember, he was talking a lot of shit about Khabib's, like, wife and his religion and shit like that. And I ain't gonna lie, if it wasn't for fucking the ref in that fight, I think Khabib would have committed manslaughter in that fucking cage. So, but I digress. So, first of all, we got to talk about the fuckery with ESPN Plus here. So, Dana White said he's going to catch all the illegal activity on this stream. He said, I got something for your ass. Something of that line or whatever. Little did we know that that little something was ESPN Plus. I guess he went after them because he was just like, I got something for you. So ESPN Plus was down for like an hour and maybe 40 minutes or something like that. I mean, the word refund was trending on Twitter. And it was mainly about this fight. People paid $70 for this fight. And they only got to see, because it kicked back on the stream, I would say around the end of the, no shit, not even the end of the women's fight. I want to say like right after the women's fight. And then when we got to the co-main event, if I'm not mistaken, it was either the end of the women's fight or the co-main event. I think it was the co-main event, which was Michael Chandler versus Dan Hooker. Because I was also excited for, I actually really wanted to see that fight too. Because they paid a shitload to get Michael Chandler in here, and Michael Chandler was fucking amazing in Bellator, so it was wanting to see if he lived up to this payment agreement. Boy, he sure fucking did. He came in there with that left hook. I love, first of all, he's in great fucking shape, but I love how he just came in. He was throwing these nice little right jabs, but they were, I wouldn't say they were like light, like, oh, you wouldn't feel it, but like they were light, like he wasn't trying to do damage with it. And he suckered Dan Hooker in with that right jab to the body. While Dan was looking at that, this left hook just came and clocked him. And he gave this, and Michael Chandler gave this damn epic ass promo afterwards where he's calling people out. Now the debate is he should probably be getting a championship. I think personally he should be fighting like Gaethje G next. Or, I don't know, maybe him and Connor should have a fight. Maybe that could be his next match or something like that. But yeah, I think he should at least have like one or two more fights before we start talking about championship matches. I mean, as far as the buy would go, I bet that fight would do huge with Poirier and Michael Chandler for the... Because, look, Dana White looking... I've been saying this all month. Dana White can keep saying Khabib's going to come and he's going to interest him. I can tell you, after seeing that main event, Khabib ain't interested in any of this shit. Like, they were trying to sit up here and be like, oh, you better watch this fight. You're going to be impressed. I watched that fight, and no disrespect to Dustin Poirier, because, man, he went out there and executed a strategy. But them two were nowhere near on his fucking level. So I was like, why would Khabib come back to this? Like, there was... the Max Holloway was more... the fight last week was more like... I could see could be, okay, maybe looking at that. But at the same time, Dustin Poirier already beat Max Holloway twice. So, I mean, you know, I mean, Max Holloway's going to have to dig himself up from the ground and kind of start over a little bit here. But I think that he was the most exciting thing of that division that I've seen so far. I mean, Connor, we can go ahead and get right in. Connor lost. He got TKO'd, knocked in the second round. And I don't know how to say this, but I straight up fucking predicted this. I even have it in writing here as I was texting a buddy saying, Connor's going to lose in the second round. Now, I didn't know he was going to get actually, I kind of did, to be honest. Never mind. So, when the fight started, I was like, I'm about to regret that, ain't I? But then I saw these leg kicks coming in. These leg kicks were important. A lot of people don't think these leg kicks are important. But Connor hasn't been in the ring almost in a whole fucking year. It's been a year. The last time he fought was a Cowboy. It's last January, I believe. And I was like, I don't think he's and plus he's got this boxing coach now, and I was like, I don't think he's underestimating these kicks here. They're gonna wear his ass out. And my thing was, if Dustin can survive this first round and a little bit of the second round with these blows that Connor's gonna throw, because Connor's fists are like fucking bullets, you know, he hits you, it's like, yeah, he'll wake your ass up. Like, you think you sleepy now? No, you'll wake up. So if he could survive that first round, I was like, I think Dustin's got a chance here. And sure enough, that's what happened. He stuck to his strategy. He didn't let those punches throw his game off. He kept going for that leg, and he wore Connor out. All of them do it whenever, when they get hit in the leg like this, whatever as much. But Connor was walking out on crutches and shit. So he's got to go back to his old strategy. He needs to stop this boxing shit. I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, it's good to have the boxing background because, you know, Connor knocks people out, literally. But he needs to get back into his judo and shit. I think he did jiu-jitsu. I don't know. I forgot now. I don't keep up with his fucking background. Anyway, though. But that's just the fight itself, you know. Although I expected Dustin to win or anything like that. Connor's back in the game, so that should be good for the business. But I gotta tell you, that fight wasn't that great. I was kind of bored, to be honest. I mean, I wasn't bored. Let me take that back. The hype was in there. The crowd was electric. Oh, my God. It's so great to hear a crowd. Anybody that says sports is... Well, I'll take that back. UFC put on a great fucking year last year without crowds. But anybody that says sports without a crowd is better or anything like that, it's like, man, you just... There's something about that roar of the crowd that just gets you. And I miss that in basketball a lot. You know, I watch these games now, and I just go like, eh. They're kind of fucking boring, to be honest. Like... I mean, I watch these games, like, football always just sounds noisy, so to me, it's like, ain't nothing changed whether there's a crowd or not a crowd in there, but, so I wasn't bored, but I didn't think that fight was just that good. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm still on the hype of, which, by the way, UFC had a early card on Wednesday morning. I never even got to see it yet, but I heard there was a really good fight on there, too, so I need to go back and check that. I don't know, maybe I'm just still on the hype of the Max Holloway fight and how fucking amazing that was, man. That was just really a good point. But here, nobody impressed me. In the main event, at least. I didn't get to watch the whole card neither, obviously, because like I just said earlier, ESPN was fucking up. So I saw the last two fights, the co-main event. I heard the women did really damn well there, so I won't really get into those. And Michael Chandler won his fight in one round, so I ain't really much to talk about there. But yeah, so I just wasn't impressed by Connor or Dustin, to be honest. I hear people keep saying, I see on the post on Instagram, what an upset. And so I was like, what an upset. Like, Connor ain't been in the ring like for God knows how long. I mean, shit, so you don't know what condition he's in. We already know he gets gassed by the end of the second to the third round. So, I mean, this ain't no thing, really. But, so we'll see. We'll see how this title picture works out now, because Khabib definitely ain't coming back. I think he said, yeah, I ain't coming back to this shit. I guess he could just make Dustin the champ. I mean, he was the interim champ, so might as well just go ahead and slap that belt on him and let's get a number one contender on him, whether it be like, you know, Gaethje gets a rematch, Connor gets some wins in there, or Chandler, we build him up. I gotta say, I think Gaethje will beat Dustin Poirier, even though Poirier beat Gaethje, so I don't know. I thought Gaethje did a better job against Khabib than... And don't get me wrong, Poirier, man, I don't know what... I don't know why people was counting him out in this fight, because if you've seen a Poirier fight in quite some time, this dude's exciting as shit. So, you know, he knows how to bring that energy and bring his ground game and his hooks in there. So that's UFC 257, though. Let's talk some Cavalon now. So like I said, I got some Vindejo sitting right here. I got them sitting in my Wonders of Whiskey glasses here. And the lid is sealed on them. You hear that? That's the lid on one of them. And then the lid on the other one right there. I don't know if you can hear that or not. It's a little weird always recording these solo and Cody not being there, because I could hear the feedback in the background. I don't hear a damn thing right now, so I'm either predicting that it works or it doesn't work, but my monitors all tell me that everything's going well, so rather sound effects sound good. Well, it's a work in progress. It's always weird doing these solo shows, because obviously the duo shows are better. Solo shows are a bitch to do. But I think that's going to be my goal with these shows, these Cavalon ones, is let's see if I can get a good solo performance or something like that, you know. I think Disney's going to sue my ass for saying solo so many times now. So, a little history about the Cavalon Vindejo here. So, 2015, Yoon comes in my office and he tells me, because he already knew I think we had just met. Well, we met that year, but I think he found out I was a whiskey guy. And he was, back then, he was drinking his Redbreast. You know, that was his thing. I think he was like Thanos with Redbreast 21. That motherfucker had the Infinity Gauntlet on with Redbreast 21s and shit. He had so many of them back then. Back then, obviously, they were cheaper, too. And I don't know. I can't remember what got him into this. But he was just super excited to talk about this Cavalon. He was watching this show called Billions with Paul Giamatti, I believe, was on there. And he asked me about this whiskey here, Cavalon. And I looked at him and said, I know nothing about that. And when we did the research, he was like, it's a Taiwanese whiskey. And I was like, I didn't even really know the Taiwanese made whiskey. You know, he probably thought I would know something about it, is because I was a big Suntory guy back before I was a Cavalon guy. So I'm assuming he just probably knew that I was into Asian whiskey. So he probably figured, like, you would know something about this Cavalon. I knew nothing about it. Never heard of it. I saw, he showed me the clip from the show, and he was drinking, Paul Giamatti was drinking in the dark kitchen or something. He was drinking this Cavalon Vindejo right here. And Yoon was just infatuated with this bottle. I should have had Yoon on here, actually, to tell his story. Go back and listen to last year's Cavalon episode we did. I'm sure he said a lot on there. I don't remember it, to be honest. But and he just, I think he found out one of the main ingredients in this was chocolate. He was curious about it. I looked at the bottle and design of it, and I just said, that's a beautiful bottle. So fast forward to 2016, I take my first trip to Asia. And, well, actually before that, funny enough, Henry, who bottle we'll be sipping on here, Henry was the first person I got my first Cavalon from. He got me I had just met him. He wanted a Weller Antique. I've told this story over. I had got a Weller Antique, and I was going to give it to him for free. I wasn't expecting, like, you know, him to pay me for it or anything. I was like, here you go, brother. Hand it off to you. And he gave me this Cavalon here, and we just exchanged the difference of pay for it and stuff. This Cavalon Solo, I still have that Cavalon Solus too. It's a sherry cask. And I didn't even open it yet. And then I took my trip to Asia, and I bought me a Solus over there. I bought me a sherry cask. So I went to the Cavalon Distillery. Man, that was back when it really wasn't shit, to be honest. Like, you go now, it's a completely different distillery now, you know. So when I went then, I mean, you just get all this knowledge. And they really speak volumes on how their casks are made. I mean, they're not really concerned with age statement bottles. And don't get me wrong, I love a good age statement, but it's just good to see a company dive into non-age statement bottles here. Now, I do have a problem with some of it, and you might have heard these complaints before, is that Cavalon's prices are too fucking high to be a non-age statement bottle, you know? I'm looking at these Nas bottles and going, like, packaging and stuff is nice, but $250 is like their starting point and higher. And not only that, Calvalon tends to piss me off a little bit because they don't bring no new releases stateside. The shit goes to Canada. I don't know who their American distributor is, but fire that motherfucker ASAP. I don't think Calvalon's have seen a new bottle since 2017 when they brought the Distillery Select in. We can't even get the fucking Concertmaster Sherry Cask. Like, it's like, that's a low end line. Like, we can't even get the Distillery Select number 2. And I almost got a bottle too. That shit was $80 overseas. And that's not even including the shipping and taxes and whatever it might be, tariffs and stuff like that. And I'm thinking in my head, Canada got this fucking bottle for $30. And that's probably how much it's worth, to be honest, too. I mean, it's a low-end Distillery Select, so it should be cheap. So that irritates the fuck out of me. So I think that guy needs to be fired, if they even have an American distributor. Because, like I said, we haven't seen a new bottle here since 2017 with a Distillery Select. And I don't want that fucking bottle. I mean, I have it. And don't get me wrong, I'm a little bougie now in my whiskey, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to drink that shit. I want the high end shit. I want the good shit. I pay good money, so I want to get the good shit. So either way, I digress. So that's the wrap up the story of how I got introduced into Calvalon here. But I will say, it took me, man, I don't think I've tasted Vinhos way before that, but I didn't get my first bottle of Vinhos till end of 2019. And then Yoon bought one in 2020 when the pandemic hit. And we've been sipping on that one for the longest or whatever. And then I think I got two more Vinhos at the end of 2020 as well too, including one of barrel pick here. So I didn't really buy a Vinho until late in the game. And it's not because I didn't like it. I was just hoping I could get it for a cheaper price, but I come to realize that was never going to even happen. I mean, even the cheapest one I've ever bought was the one I bought last summer. I got it for $200, 700 milliliter too. So I think Henry's is the best deal, $250 for that. But so, and plus I was just trying to collect them all besides that one, because I think I got the ex-bourbon cask way before I even got a Vinho. But let's go ahead. Enough of this chit-chatting and stuff like that. Let's talk about, I guess we could talk about a little bit about what they did at the distillery. So if my memory serves me right, to mature the Calvalon Vinho casks, which have held both red and white wines in them. And if I'm not mistaken, it's a lot more Chardonnay wine too, before being retoasted. I think the cask and the retoasting is what brings out the boldness, the I don't want to say burning, but that expression flavor you get of like all the tropical fruits, like the plums and stuff like that. And it really brings out that wine taste to it that it has, which kind of leads to it being a little bit sweet per se. I'm gonna go ahead and lift the cask cover off this one. I mean, it really straight. The first one I first sipped this, I didn't really think about it, but it was like last summer when I started drinking more of this. I was like, man, it really has like a sweet wine smell to it. And then when the taste gets more into it, oh man, the wine notes are all there too. So, obviously it won all kind of awards and stuff like that. Don't need to get into that though. That's the boring part. Nobody wants to hear about that kind of stuff right there. So, let's go ahead. By the way, this is, god damn. This utilizes American oak, not bourbon oak. Or bourbon barrels, per se. I heard some people said that before, and I was like, I don't think they use bourbon barrels on Calvalon, so. So yeah, they use American oak wine barrels. Which gives it all that robust flavor and scent to it. Oh my god, this smells so really good. So after they toast it, they char it, obviously. Man, first off, in the color here in this glass, it's got that golden copper color. Oh man, I got a little something in that glass right there. Well, I don't give a fuck. I'm just gonna drink it anyway. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm gonna drink that anyway. I don't give a fuck. It's probably COVID. So, got that golden copper. The first impression that hits me on the nose, by the way, I'm sniffing right now the just plain old Cabernet Solus Vinho at a 56.3 ABV. Right off the bat, it hits me with a stiff sharpness of just sweetness. Nose is very sweet. It's stiff. It's got like a floral black background to it. And it's citrusy. It's got like this orange citrus to it. And you get the vanilla. It's funny because when I first used to smell this, I got a little bit of the chocolate, but never. But now I don't even get chocolate at all. I get it more on the taste than I do on the nose. Mmm. Oh man, that smells so good. Let's go ahead and sip this bad boy. Mmm. Mmm. Oh, excuse me there. I swallowed that the wrong way. We're 25 minutes in. I'm barely taking my first sip. So. Mmm. Mmm. The palate has like this dry wood, but it has like a lot of spices and pepper on it. Mmm. Some might even say it's a little too prominent too, as far as the wood finish. Because now that I think about it, I'm tasting that on the finish and on the palate. And maybe, I don't know if it's because of the glass or whatever, but it is sticking out more than any other flavor right by now. Mm. Yeah, the flavors are a little bit muddied beneath the oak there. But I think what brings it out more, though, is that intense spiciness that it packs there, which I love. It makes it very unique. Mmm. Very fucking unique, actually. Mm. I think this is why people like this one the most, though. It's got a lot of flavor to it. That toastiness is why I can see why some people would think that this was in bourbon barrels. Sorry, that's another reason why I can see people liking it. Mm. It's funny because a lot of new people I give the Cavalon to, they tend to like the ex-bourbon cask a little bit more. And because the ex-bourbon cask has it's packing tropical flavors all over your mouth buds. Taste buds there. Mouth buds. What the fuck is a mouth bud? Anyway, this is really solid. I've had this on the on ice, too, by the way. I had it actually while I was watching the fight. I just wanted to see what it did. And it's kind of the same, actually. I didn't really taste anything like that. You getting all the flavors like that rich malty caramel and brown sugar. I will say, I think the ice does bring that out more, if you will. Whereas I think without the, when you keep it neat, it's just got that wood charred flavor more. So there is that if you want to try it on ice, but I always go neat. I say try ice, though, just in case you want to see if you prefer that that heavier on the sweetness side than you do on the charred side. Mmm. This takes you... It's taking me on a journey now. Every sip I take, it offers like a lighter, smoother taste. And then it gets more rounded, and it has more of a complex profile to it. Mmm. Vinho, this was my number one whiskey of the year last year on The Last Drop, here on The Last Drop. I always go back and forth between this and the Port Cask, on which is my favorite out of the four expressions there, Sherry X Bourbon. And I for some reason, because I just had the Port Cask too when I was watching the fight. Man, I right now I think I like the Port Cask a little bit more. Mmm. I keep going back and forth on that shit. One day I'll just have the definitive number one. It won't be part of the mood or anything. I'm gonna go ahead and seal this back up. I got like a little bit left. I guess I could swirl that around. But, nah, I'm gonna go ahead and swirl that. So now we got the store pick here, or the barrel pick here. First of all, this bottle is fucking beautiful. I love on the newer bottles compared to the older ones now. It got this gold trim instead of the silver one. Another thing, too, is I like the box it comes in. I asked Yoon this when we were sipping this. What do you prefer, the box or the tube? I even think I asked my sister. You know, that girl that says that tastes like alcohol, that one. I think she said the tube, and I think Yoon said the box. He likes the box more than the tube. Although I think the tube is unique, I do love this new box that they put it in. I mean, I'm opening this bad boy up right now. Yeah, I like this box. I like this little scroll it comes with, even though the tube comes with that tube. I like this little bag of, what the fuck is this? Moisture-free silica gel, throw away, do not eat. Go ahead and pop that into your Cavalon, you know, just pop a few in there, like it's little X pills or something, you know, make it taste sweet. So yeah, I like that box just a little bit more, but man, my boy Henry, he came through the 700 milliliter, Cavalon Vinho, HKHL. I don't know what the fuck that stands for. Henry never told me that, by the way. I'm just going to say Hong Kong Henry Lau. Yeah, that sounds about right. Even though Lau isn't a Taiwanese last name, but he'll figure it out. Maybe he'll get married to someone named Lau and he'll change his last name to her name. Yeah. He's hiding from the FBI probably anyway, so. So, let's go ahead and crack the cork on this glass here or move the top and see what this smells like. Oh, my God. I think this is why I chose this as my number one. I was probably more influenced by Henry's barrel pick than I was the actual Vinho. Yoon gives, I mean, he gives all Cavalon last drop, but this is his favorite, the Vinho. So, if that means anything to anybody out there. This barrel pick. Oh, it smells so fucking good. Let me go back and smell this original. Oh, see, there's a huge fucking difference. You know, this one, it's got like this more well-rounded, robust flavors bursting out of the glass here. Whereas in this one, yeah, it kind of. This is where I think the wood takes over on this one right here. Whereas in Henry's, I think it's just perfectly balanced. It's got everything that the older Vinhos at least should have or had. You get a whiff of that chocolate sensation right there. That plum. It's very light on the citrus, not like this the original Vinho. Although I do like the citrus smell on the nose. This one's very light because I think the sweetness is more over on the char and the toast. But this one just smells heavenly. Oh my God. I would give, if I got to give ratings, I would give that Cavalon, the Vinho, I'd give that a 3.5. Yeah, I'd drop a 3.5 on that. And I'm going to go ahead and sip this. I got to take. You know what? When we first sipped this, Yoon said this best. It was just like the 10th anniversary bottles. He said this is just like the 10th anniversary bottle. One is all about palate, and the other one's about the finish. On the regular Vinho, it's all about the palate. It's like just bursting on your palate with flavors and the wood and char and stuff and the tropical fruits. This one, it's all about the finish. So in a way, Henry kind of completed the Vinho here if you do a side-by-side comparison. That finish is phenomenal. I love, when I drink my whiskey, I'm all more about the finishes. Although, don't get me wrong, I love when something's just bursting out on my palate, too. You know? But I always say it's always about how you finish, not how you start. And, ooh, this one just knocks it out the park for me. I love... See, what I love about the Vinho is I think it should hit the palate. It's got all these citrus, like an orange citrus flavor, this chocolate, robust, tropical fruit flavor. I think that should explode on your palate more so than it should in the finish. But with Henry's, and especially because it's more charred too. Mm. But somehow Henry's pick here, it's managed to lighten that toast and still give you all those flavors, but on the finish this time, with that light little spiciness on the palate this time. The spiciness on the original Vinho is more on the finish compared to the palate, whereas in Henry's, the spiciness is on the palate and not on the finish. And you get the flavors on the finish. So it's yin and yang, reverse opposite, if you will. Mmm. And after what I just said about liking all the flavors on my palate, I would have to say Henry's pick just kind of proved that wrong. This works fucking perfectly. Mmm. Yeah, man. This is just hitting all the right notes for me. This is a last drop. This, oh man, this is just heavenly as hell. First of all, I thought the fruits on the palate was much better. But I'm just changing my mind completely. The spice is so much better. I prefer the spice on my palate with the fruits on the finish. I love because the spiciness is hitting the lips and it's getting that little tingling sensation. You know what they call that? What the rock call? Oh shit, it's happening. Oh, them arm hairs are standing up. Goosebumps. Yeah, I'm liking this little tingly sensation right here. And no, that's not downstairs. I'm talking about all upstairs, right about here. As Neo said in that freaky ass song he did, the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up right about now. It hits you with the sizzle, finishes you out with the Bahamas. I like that. I wonder if on the original Vinho, had instead of the finish being the sizzle, it would have stayed more with the kind of like on the palate with the finish, if it would have just been consistent. I wonder if I would like that more. Because I don't want on a Cabernet, I don't want the sizzle on my finish, you know. I like a nice, don't get me wrong, I love my shit strong. But I like that nice little flavorful, because that's where, even though it sticks on your tongue, most likely, for me, going down the throat, that's where, I know there's a lot of gay jokes that could be used on this episode right about now. There's just so many. There's just so many to do. I mean, I could just do so much. So many. But going down the throat, I think it leaves it more memorable. Makes it more memorable, sorry. English is something I'll never understand, people, so cut me some slack. This is the last drop. I like this. Henry, kudos to you, my friend. You did a very good job with this pick here. I think we're going to wrap this up. I don't need to go any longer, especially no hour-long episode. Probably keep these talking Cavalons. Talking Cavalon. Yeah, we'll see. We'll probably keep these episodes like 30 minutes to 40 minutes or whatever. Especially since the regular shows now. Lately, they've been like an hour and 20 minutes. You don't need a bar review replacement that's going to be over an hour. Even if it hit an hour, that's about long enough it should go. So, yeah. So, I'm finished here. Oh my God. That sip right there, that just rolled off the tongue. That was smooth as hell. That's another thing, too, about these. It's so smooth. Always so smooth. That's why I love Cal. It's always just so smooth. I feel like I can introduce anybody into it. Rookie, experienced whiskey drinker. And I feel like they would probably not as love it as much as I do, but they would like it to some extent or degree. I think hardcore bourbon drinkers, I don't think they'd really give a fuck, to be honest. I mean, they might enjoy it a little bit, but I don't think they're gonna really give a shit. It's probably more end up in more in the Scotch territory per se. But I digress. So with that said, I'm getting out of here. I'm done. I'm about to go to bed. I'm tired. Actually, I'm gonna finish drinking this a little bit and then I'm gonna go to bed. Be back like always with Whiskey Week next week. So go ahead and tune that in, and then Craft Beer Week, getting into February, mix and match, and then maybe I'll give you another Cavalon. Maybe I'll do Sherry Cast next month or whatever, because it's Valentine's Day, you know, and we can't go to a can't keep our annual Valentine's Day for the single man event going this year, so it'll have to be something extraordinary, I guess. And you know, Sherry Cast is red and Valentine's Day is all about that red, so whatever. I digress. But that said, though, I am your godfather of whiskey, the king of Cavalon in California. I kind of just fucked that name up, didn't I? I am J.B., J-double-B, J-Aramey, Mr. Petty, the petty one himself, you know. And like I always say, livers will never be the same. I guess you can't really do that here then, huh? Well, you know what? Time to make a new one now, just for this episode now. Hey, drink Cavalon every day.